Welcome to Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
Now, many people believe that, you know, because we live in a nudity, that nudity isn't just skin deep, but it is actually just skin deep. And in our program, what we like to do is kind of like a peek underneath that skin of the cover of our lives and kind of check into, you know, what do we believe about all that? What are we seeing, assuming? What's real? What's not real? How's your attitude, bub? Anyway, we're going to talk about it. We may do some poetry. We're going to definitely have some music, and we're going to have strange accents like the one I'm using now.
God help me. I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Benny Goblefarber.
Believe it or not, in that disguise, he is Errol Strider. And tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And you can get Go Raw at Whole Foods. Yeah, Trader Joe's in the organic section of Costco. And you can go to their website, goraw.com. Thank you, Go Raw, for sponsoring us and allow us to be with these good folks out there and in here and with Rochelle. And, you know, we never talk to each other except for this 1 hour a week. So this
thank
is
God.
Really, yeah, thank
That's
God.
All I'm saying tonight. Thank God. That's my line. You know, the nice thing about this at-home series that we've started, and this is the third in our at-home series, is we get a chance to just converse with each other because we never talk to each other. It's too difficult when you live in the same house all the time.
Wait, you are
but
the,
here right now in our living room,
don't tell me,
we can talk. Errol, give me a break. Oh, my God. This is an OMG show.
Oh, my God. It is. Let's
first
call the
all,
show OMG. Tonight's show is
first
OMG.
Of all, Errol, I have to remind you that today is the 50th anniversary of my sister and brother-in-law. Their wedding, I mean, it was 50 years ago today, and I was there. I was the maid of honor.
Yeah. What's amazing to me is they're 46 years old. I never could figure that out.
They're not, but that's okay.
No, she was born one day before or after me, Lana?
One day after.
One day after, yeah.
Exactly, the same year.
Yeah, we almost converged. Just a day.
They almost, you know, as they were coming through, you know, these little beings, they had to make sure that Lana was going to be in my house and not Errol, because then it would have been weird because he would have been my brother, and what would I have done?
I don't want to get heavy and serious, but one story that has always impacted me about your life was when you were, when Lana was about to be born, and then she was born and she had like infantigo and you couldn't go near her, you couldn't touch her, and all of a sudden you had been for 3.5 years the queen of the family, and now you're cast aside for this little disease-ridden baby.
Well, she wasn't disease-ridden, but
a life shaper.
Yes, a life shaper.
Yeah.
Because I remember my mom put her down on the bed, and she, because she was born during the war in a hospital that was short of help.
This would be World War which?
It was the Civil War, honey. I'm not going to say more, but 1943, if you can't figure out what war it was, go back to history
books. That was the year I was born.
That's right.
The same as Lana. One like, day apart, as a matter
apart.
Of fact.
Uh-huh. Right. So they kept her bundled up, swaddling, they called it in those days. She was all bundled up. And my mother never saw anything but her head, and her head and her face was clear. So when she put her on this bed, and I couldn't wait to see my new baby person, it's going to be a living doll. And I rushed into the bedroom as my mother was uncovering the swaddling, opening it up, and then saw all these boils. They were like boils all over her body. So I rushed into it, wanted to touch her, and the first thing my mother said, "Don't touch her." And that was like a slam. Don't touch your sister, don't touch this baby that I've been waiting to play with and have my little living doll baby. Don't touch her. And then for several weeks, months after that, doctors were coming to the house, and she had to be, these boils had to be cleansed, each one separately, in a purple solution called gentian violet.
Right out
well,
there.
Well, I'm grateful that she's fine. You know, she doesn't have boils. She doesn't have scars, really, from this. And she's led a very healthy, fulfilling life. So that we can give thanks for.
It makes me wonder about these kinds of traumas and the degree to which they impact us and how they impact us and how they change the direction of our life. Like when I was really young, I don't remember this at all, but I was told that I poured boiling hot coffee on my chest.
And why did you do that?
It was an experiment. It failed.
No, maybe it was you wanted to see if it hurt.
Oh, my God.
And found out it did.
Oh, my God.
I bet that was not fun.
Well, I don't remember it, thank God. Speaking of thank God, this is the week of Thanksgiving, and it's good to stop and just give thanks. I mean, God knows there's plenty to complain about. Oh, my God. And thank God for that. Because if we didn't have stuff to complain about, what would we do with that pent-up frustration? But it's like the safety valve, complaining.
Yeah, but I think that one of the things I'm trying to do in my life at this point, and I don't know if I'm succeeding or not, but I hope a little bit by bit, so to speak. But when I hear myself start to complain, I say, if you can't do something about it, don't complain. You know, do something about it. Don't complain about it. And then it changes everything. You know, there is a creative solution to things that I tend to complain about. But then I complain about if I can't find a creative solution.
Well, my dialogue goes something like this. Well, I don't like it this way, you know, and it's like, this is a bummer, and I don't like it. Let me just tell you something. Stop and see what you can do about it. I don't want to do that. I just want to complain. I just want to vent. Okay, ever heard of venting? I understand you need to vent, but this is an opportunity to reframe. I don't want to. You're going to say reframe again, aren't you, huh? I hate that. You always think reframe. What's that supposed to mean, huh? I don't know. You know, I don't. But let me just let me say one more thing, and then we'll be done. If you could just say, how about this? Thank you for allowing me to complain.
What?
Thank you for allowing. Yes, thank you. Yes.
And you wonder why my house is crowded.
Thank you.
I'm married to two men, and they both live in the same body.
Right.
Actually, there's many more of those people who live in that body.
I want to give thanks for the fact that you can call in, and then you can talk with us in our At Home with the Striders at 888-627-6008. Just call in and interrupt the conversation, but not at a significant point. Wait till it's really trite and boring. Then interrupt, because then we need you to interrupt.
The nice thing about, we have these conversations a lot, and it's kind of fun to send them out on the airwaves, so to speak, and have you be part of our little house and what we talk about.
Little house in the prairie. Well, not the prairie, in the woods.
Little house in the woods. We have a little cabin in the woods here at Lupin Lodge, which is absolutely beautiful. Lupin Lodge is beautiful. It's 110 acres of the most beautiful woods. And we have a little cabin, a tiny little cabin.
With some of the most diverse and varied creatures that you can imagine.
And that's the wild creatures.
No, that's us. That's the people who live and work here. Strange bunch of motley creatures. We are that.
But, well, we're from all walks of life. Lupin is sort of like a microscopic city. I mean, it really does. I mean, in terms of percentages of the people who live here, they're just about the same percentages in terms of a large city. I think so, yeah, I would. And it's really fun, and it's, you know, and you tend to, like, have a very homogenous world that you live in most of your life growing up, you know, certain And now it's much more heterogeneous.
Yeah.
What would you call it?
You know, I knew a heterogeneous once. This guy was like, he was class act. He was such a heterogeneous that when he was standing in his bipolar nature, he could see both ways at once, coming from inside or outside.
God, you crazy man.
I'm sorry. I want to give thanks for the fact that I did not hit, I almost hit someone with my car tonight.
No.
Yes, it was so close. And I was backing up. It's really dark here where we live at night. It's really dark.
Well, we live in the woods.
Right. I mean, there are little lights around, but they don't really help you when you're driving. So you only have light in the direction. And I was backing up. Fortunately, I was backing up slowly. I couldn't really see. And then I stopped backing up. And then I looked behind me as I was pulling out. And I saw that I was like a foot from a guy who was standing behind a truck there. He was standing up behind a truck.
Oh, my gosh.
And another foot. And so that was scary, because the thought that I may could have had somebody's legs crushed or bent or certainly in pain. And I went, whoa. That was about 10 minutes before our program. And I went, okay, yeah, thanks. Thank you for that. That's just huge. And I wonder how many other things like that that we experience in our life that we don't know. The almost misses, the could have, would have, that might have taken us into some very uncomfortable situations. And that raises another question. To what degree can we be in this flow that we always talk about, this flow of the universe moving in a certain dynamic, in a certain direction? And as we ride into that flow and go into that flow, to what extent? I'm not even sure what my question is, other than to say that that's an option that we have discovered. I believe you and I share that there is a flow.
There is a flow. And I mean, yeah, and you, when you get with it, you know, when you go with the flow, it makes life a lot more interesting. I mean, a lot more pleasant, that's for sure. And it doesn't matter what the situation is that you find yourself in, because as long as you're not resisting it, it offers up an enormous amount of opportunities, learning opportunities, growth opportunities. Every moment is a growth opportunity.
Yeah, so let's give thanks to that with Alanis Morissette, because I think she has some interesting viewpoints that are very resonant with what you just said. We've played Alanis before. She's really special. Here she is. Just a minute. That was not her. Here she is.
How about getting off of these antibiotics? How about stopping eating when I'm full of? How about them trying?
Did you hear the lyrics?
Yes, I did. I was thinking, like, well, it's easy to say thank you to good things and special moments, but to say thank you to life's more difficult moments.
Exactly.
That's when a thank you really matters.
Exactly.
I bet this was called thank you.
You know, it is thank with the letter U. But here are some interesting lyrics that I'd like to just highlight. The moment I let go of it was the moment I got more than I could handle. The moment I jumped off of it was the moment I touched down. And then she goes on to sing, how about no longer being masochistic? How about remembering your divinity? How about unabashedly bawling your eyes out? How about not equating death with stopping?
Wow. That's really neat. That's really neat.
Some great lyrics.
Yeah.
And she sings with soul. Boy, I may play one of her other songs tonight because I want to hear, like we did last week with Eva Cassidy. And maybe we'll hear another one of her songs. You get a sense of Alanis's range.
Oh, yeah.
Fabulous. I'll see what I can find. In the meantime, we are Inside Out. You're at home with Errol and Rochelle Strider. And we're broadcasting live from Lupin Lodge, the clothing optional but truth naked place.
The truth naked place. Yes.
You don't see much of the option to be unclothed happening here at this time of year when it's like 40s in the morning. And
there are a few people who you know, brave it. They don't seem to mind the cold so much. But I'm not one of them.
No, you're not. No. I haven't seen a naked person. I don't even look in the mirror. It's so cold.
That was good, Errol. I thought that was funny.
Good. I'm glad somebody.
We have a woman who comes here and swims, and the pool is not heated right now. And you can imagine it's pretty cold. I mean, it's one thing to go into a hot tub and then jump into a cold pool, you know, sort of like, you know, that's kind of fun, I think. But there's a woman she swims in this pool. And
the way she finesses the ice cubes as she moves around them, the little tiny icebergs.
There are not icebergs here, but you know, Errol, I tell him to wink before he says something that seems like the truth.
I'm working on my radio.
But you can't see him wink on the radio. You got to, just joking. That's what you got to say. Just joking.
Maybe I'm not just joking.
But you are. There are no ice cubes in the pool or icebergs.
Well, let me ask you out there, listeners. Now, would you think that was true, or you knew I was just joking? I didn't have to tell you I was just joking. It kind of ruins the joke to say just joking.
Why?
Stunned silence. The question why came into his consciousness. And it looked around in those synapses to see if there was something that would come out as a valid reason. And it looked. It looked for hours, for days, for lifetimes. It braved some of the dilapidated, toxic synapses that had been used from really twisted and perverted thinking. But it got by those, still looking for the elusive why, until finally it came upon it. And it said, why?
Not.
Because we like you. MICKEYMOUSE.
I hope you don't turn the channel.
You can. I've frozen their arms with my rays that I send out to all listeners that prevents them from.
God, that is terrible. But you know a why? A why? Here's a why that's really important. I believe you become wise because you ask why.
Ooh, that's good. You become wise because you ask why. Well, first of all, let's back up a minute.
Just a minute?
Well, let's back up and look at that word, wise. Like, it's something we use, we kick around and say, oh, that's wise or not wise. Or we don't really use it enough, really, because there aren't as many things that we should be saying.
Not many very wise people.
Right. We need to use it more. So tonight's show is brought to you by Wise. May we find more of the wise. Maybe that's how why got written into wise. Maybe that's, see, if you spell it W-H-Y-Z, then it's wise.
Wise. I love that. I love that when I learned, when I took speech classes in college, and she'd always say, if the H comes after the Y, the W, it should, you should hear it first. Why?
When I was in college and when I grew up in Missouri, we didn't say why or what. We said what, why.
You just forgot the H.
There was no H on it. You know, they took it out in all those words in where I grew up, evidently, because we didn't say it. And when I was in college, I was a speech major. I was in the theater. And I had to consciously learn to make that shift. I had to practice. And it took me several weeks of catching myself.
Weeks? That's pretty good. Some people take a lot longer than that.
Well, I don't know how long it took, but I do remember.
Who's counting, right?
Who was counting then? And at that time, and I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful for the time I spent at the University of Missouri and Stevens College for Women. It was...
When you were a woman.
When I was a woman, right? Well, that's how I learned that I didn't want to be a woman. And because I went there and I decided I'm going to go back to being a man. And so they reversed...
Just joking.
But I did go to a women's college. That's not a joke. And I went there because I was a dancer. I got a dance scholarship because they had to have women pick up, not women, the men pick up the girls.
That's right.
And dance with them.
That's the way it was written. In dance lore.
In dance lore. Matter of fact, I don't want to show off, but I'd like to. I'll show you all a couple steps.
You can't do that on the radio. You just can't. It's meaningless.
Well,
wait, he's doing it right now.
Yeah, okay, this is my song. Okay, you can imagine me, okay? All right, just imagine it. All right, here we go. Oh!
Hope you have a good imagination.
Eat your heart out.
Dollar bills are flying.
Here we go for the finale. Imagine this at the clothing optional resort.
Here's where you put your clothes on.
That's right.
Oh, we're so sorry. This is radio, but
hey,
what can we do?
If you come visit us and spend time with us here at Lupin, and let me put in a plug for coming out here and spending some time. This is a 110-acre place. It's really beautiful, and it's kind of like undiscovered. It's like a great dark horse of nature, beautiful places, I think, because a lot of people, really, if they knew about it, and we're, that's why we're letting you know, come on out and visit us. And you can stay at one of our quaint yurts. I don't know how to describe a yurt. I did look up a description of a yurt. Now, one of the ladies in the office says, well, it's like a tent, but I don't think it's anything like a tent. How would you describe a yurt?
It was a mobile dwelling. And I think it was created in north of Afghanistan, up there by the Mongols.
Wow, the Mongol place.
And they used them, and they took them down and put them up when they went places. So in that sense, it was like a tent.
Oh.
But it's round, and it has a dome top, and the ones we have here are 16 feet in diameter. And they really, something about them, you walk into them, maybe because it's round, and the dome top that looks out into the sky. There's just something, the minute I walk into a yurt, I feel this kind of peaceful feeling. It's just very lovely.
Well, you know, as it turns out, a yurt is a portable, bent dwelling structure traditionally used by nomads in the steppes of Central Asia as their home. The structure comprises a crown or compression wheel, usually steam. Just a minute. We have one of those kinds of nomads here tonight. Well, hello, welcome. And what is your name? My name is is Dvorich Lakhmudnikov. Aha, and you lived in a yurt? That we lived in yurt like for centuries, like it was like we had like yurt things, and we put like yurts in yurts. It was like that's where you see the Russian dolls. They have like women within ribbon within women. We had yurts within yurts within yurts. It was like a whole thing. We were like yurt nuts. And we were so like feeling that they would like to be like, we were so like hoping to find a square building someday, sometime. So that kind of, we came with nomads. So we're like, we didn't stay to like in the same place, which is why we had yurts, of course. But then we came to the United States and we discovered Hotel 6.
Hotel 6?
Yeah, we're nomading around the United States of America. You stay at Hotel 6. It's not like a yurt, but it's like it functions like it could be a yurt if it was like had a round.
Oh, help me, help me, help me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry I can't pronounce your name, but we appreciate your nomading yourself all the way over here to
Here. He's here probably because he wanted to stay in a yurt.
Now, these walls are, they have like a crisscross, like almost a lattice as the structure of wood that's bent. It's all bent wood. And if you're looking for a job, they have, you're looking for woodbenders.
Woodbenders. That's right, woodbenders. Oh, my, you're so silly tonight, Errol. I don't even got my tummy hurts.
Well, if you've ever been on a bender, that's how it got started.
Oh, no, no, don't go there. Don't even go there.
I'm sorry.
When you visit us at home, which you are right now, visiting us at home, this is pretty much what it's like. We're not pretending to be anything or anywhere than where we are.
Excuse me, let me say where it comes from in me. As a creative artist, which is what I think of myself to be, and Rochelle has recently adopted the slogan when she gets nuts about what I'm doing. What's the slogan about me?
I married an artist,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, right.
That's how I can forgive him his insanity.
That's true. And we're so glad she came upon that. For years, she didn't use that, but now she does. And as an artist, I find myself constantly looking to be surprised. Yeah. To be surprised by some sublime, humorous, off the cup, something that makes my psyche do a double take.
That's a very sweet way of doing saying it.
Yeah.
But you know, Errol, I find that when I am really present to the moment, I'm always surprised. It's only when I bring the past into the moment that I'm not surprised, because then it's a hum. It's a hum. Yeah, right. That I remember that. Oh, it was like that. I knew that. Mm. But when I'm right here and I have no place else to go and I'm not projecting myself into the future, it's always surprising. It's always wonderful. It's always an aha moment because there is nothing else. There's nothing to compare it to. It's just what it is. And that's, watch children. You know what? We're going to have a grandchild. And I think watching that child is going to really be an amazing experience for us. Because you forget when you're a parent, you know, you feel so responsible. You don't always get to maybe enjoy the discoveries that your child is having all the time. That it's all new to that person. To us, we were all like that. It was always new. Every moment was new. And I'm still like that. So some people call me childish.
But we know who they are. We know who those people are. And if I have anything to say about it, I'm going to call them to task.
If you have anything to say about it, when would you not have anything to say about it?
Well, sometime on Wednesdays.
Between 2 and 3.
Between 2 and 3. You know, I'll tell you the truth, though, Rochelle, because I want to give thanks.
You always tell me the truth.
But the reality is nobody really knows the trouble I've seen.
Sometimes our living gets so dark and lonesome.
It seems like there's nothing we can do. So we reach out to each other, raise a song together, let our voices carry us through. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come.
And when the war clouds gather, it's so easy to get angry, and just as hard not to be afraid. But you know in your own heart, no matter what happens, you just can't turn your back and walk away.
We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come.
Now, you old listeners out there, get up on your feet now and just start tapping and move to this music. Let it be a reminder to you that you still can move. And be grateful for that. Yep, get those toes a-tapping.
Within us every day. If we can learn to live it, to walk and talk and give it, then a world of peace won't be so far away.
We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing.
Who is singing through the hard times?
Well, a group called Magpie, or a person Magpie, with Dan Schatz, Emma's Revolution, Kathy Fink, Marcy Markser, and friends. Boy, there's a whole bunch of folks singing that song. I love
this was not that. Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. This is Singing Through the Hard Times. This is a different song.
Well, this is what happened, and I'm grateful for it, because I went to play actually the song Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, which was sung by Nana Muscuri. But sometimes the music just disappears in the computer. It was there, and then it has like a big question mark, and it's like, it just, and then it went to the next song automatically, and which was great.
It was a perfect song. Perfect song. I mean, I think of Thanksgiving coming up. I think how grateful I am that we have beautiful children, and that we're going to see at least one of them, and our daughter-in-law, and her parents this Thanksgiving, which is really nice. And there's something about family, those peoples that come from your loins, you've known from the time of inception to
too
now.
Too much information.
That's not too much information. That's not too much information. Anything less was not real.
That loin word, I don't know. It's a lot of information.
This is a clothing optional place. If you can't talk about loins, you shouldn't be here.
You know, there are lots of loin conversations here when you come out. People will often say things like, you know, there's a lot of loins out here.
I don't think so. Only Errol would say that, and he would get into trouble.
I want to go back to what you were saying before, because it was so, like, right on, spot on, when you talked about you're surprised if you just show up in the now. How can you not be surprised? It's only when you bring the past into the now, that you go ho hum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember the I had this experience once, and I tried very hard to replicate it many, many, many times, which I do, but not as much as I'd like, of course. It was just waking up one morning and deciding not to plan a thing. No plans, no agendas whatsoever. Just wake up and allow the day to dictate what I did, the action. Because I know people always say, if you don't plan things, you don't do anything. You turn into a vegetable. So I did. I woke up. And, of course, the first thing that happens is your body asks certain things of you. You go to the bathroom, you know, you feel dirty, you wash yourself. You know, but see, that's exactly it. Your body dictates what you wanted. And then I was in this place, and I went down to the kitchen because I was hungry. I was hungry, so I got food. And I remember thinking, oh, look at all these things to eat. And there was an adventure about creating food because I was really hungry. And then there was an adventure of cleaning up. And then there was an adventure. The day was filled. It was so full. It was more full than if I had planned it. And I felt less exhausted at the end of the day, full of energy all day long, just meeting whatever came to me and responding to it. And it was wonderful. And I get caught up in the plans because other people are involved and they go, well, what are you going to do? And when are you going to do it? And I'd like to spend more days like that. Anyway, I just said that. I'm thankful for the fact that I can do that, that it's possible, that I know it's possible and will do it as much as possible.
Let me ask those of you who are listening in if you'd like to join the conversation, because you can, so simply, by dialing 888-627-6008.
Is there a dash?
And, well, you don't have to dash it, but and a small contribution of $55,000, and you could be online.
Oh, God. You know, did he wink? Did he wink? Did he wink?
That sounds like a movement for a, did he wink? Did he wink? Did he wink? Did he wink? I like it. Last week, we played a song from Sammy Davis Jr. Broadway show, Golden Boy.
And he way plays, back before a lot of you were born.
But he plays a prize fighter in the Broadway and the musical production. And the opening scene is in the gym, the prize fighters. And they build this whole rhythmic structure around the sounds of the gym, hitting the punching bag, the and the punching bag and all the sounds of the gym. And it's a fabulous number. I'm going to see if I can find that and share
wow.
it with you.
I didn't see that. It was based on a movie way, way, way back in the early 40s, I think.
William Holden?
Yeah. William Holden. I think he played, it was a violinist or something, and he was prize fighter to make money. You know, but he was good. Mm. And it's, I remember his father or something was, everyone was miserable because he was a really good violinist. But he was making money and living the good life. Remember when people would say things like that? He lives the good life. That means you have money for extras,
we have,
for luxuries.
Funny you should mention that. We have a boxer with us tonight who lives some of that good life, Maxie Rosenblum. Come on in, Maxie.
Maxie was a real boxer.
Here he is. I'm Maxie. I was a prize fighter from the 1938 to 47 or something, you know. And I was like the knockout king for a while there. And I knocked the crap out of those fellas, you know. I took down a few myself, you know. But I wouldn't, you know. Of course, you know, I was always in a conflict because I had this other vocation that I was trained with, you know, all my life. And that was to be a hula dancer. And it was like always a conflict with me. Because I was a good hula dancer, but I made money prize fighting. Thank you, Maxie.
A hula dancer. Where did you come up with a hula dancer? Anything I would have expected, but hula dancer, you surprised me. If that was your goal, you surprised me. Hula dancer was definitely surprising. We saw, remember the hula dances we saw a few weeks ago? We have an acquaintance who has a hula school here in Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz, yeah.
Yeah, and she had a recital concert a few weeks ago, and we got to see some beautiful hula dancing, so lovely.
The movement of hula dancing is so smooth, and it's almost like the swaying of the palm trees themselves.
Yeah, and the water.
Right.
And the air.
Flapping up against the shore.
It definitely feels that it's celebrating nature. I feel like that more than anything.
Then I'm just remembering her gestures, tells a story, too, mm-hmm. of the different arm movements.
Right.
And it's very appealing. So go on to YouTube. That's the beauty of YouTube. Like right now, you could just, wait a minute, don't go now. You have 15 minutes more of having to deal with us. But then go look up some hula dancing and try it yourself. If nothing else, you'll get a great laugh out of seeing yourself try the hula. At the very least.
The thing, I love beauty. I love things that are beautiful. So there's no not loving natural beauty, trees, flowers. And I'm surrounded by beauty every day. And the strangest thing is there's a car always seems like it's out of place here. And yet, of course we drive cars because we want to go into town, town being the city of Los Gatos or Santa Cruz, which are lovely towns. But the car always seems out of place to me. I get up and I look at our car in front of our little cabin and I think, I expect a horse and buggy somehow when I open the door that there'd be a little trap, with a little rider. And I would go around in this little horse and buggy because there's something out of place with the combustion engine and the noise and this whatever a car emits and trucks and things like that. That you don't want here, and yet you have to have them. I mean, because whatever it is, but
it reminds me when we went to a Renaissance fair at which we performed somewhere in Colorado near Denver, and our baby was only like about 2 weeks old, wasn't he, Lev? Very young, 2 weeks.
I can't believe it was 2 weeks.
Yeah,
2 weeks?
2-3 weeks. He was like barely.
And I was nursing him. I know that.
Well, no, he was like 2-3 weeks.
Well.
Because he was born in August, and that's when the Renaissance Fair was, in August. Anyway, I remember we had this carriage, and it broke, and we had to go. There was a blacksmith
right.
shop within the Renaissance, like a real, and he's wearing this stuff, and we took our carriage in and had the blacksmith fix the whatever piece
the
of
wheel.
Metal. Yeah. To get it to work again, and I really felt like I was transported back in time. It just had a feeling like we were in another era.
You know how much we love historical novels, you and I. There's something about reading things that take place in a time that is not my own. Because I feel like I live in my own time. And that's, I'm reading it every day. It's part of my life, the reading of now. But a novel that takes place in the 1600s or in the 1700s, There's a fascination with, my God, the people, they're not here anymore, but they lived and they had these feelings and like I have right now in the 21st century. And I don't know, it just makes me realize just how time is not as far away as we think it is. It seems like, 200 years ago is a long time. Well, yes, it is a long time in terms of mortal time, but in terms of universe time, it's nothing. And when I'm reading a historical novel, it compresses that time for me. And then I'm right there. I am in that time. And I can almost feel the rustle of the skirts and the bustle of dressing like that. It's just sweet. I just adore it.
Well, this is a good time for a word from our sponsor, Time Compressors. we have now available time compressors. And you know what the time compressors are? They're miracles. Because we found out that miracles actually compress time. And why is that? Because when you're in the middle of a miracle, you're timeless. So any time that may have been involved before you got there immediately gets compressed. Otherwise, it wouldn't fit into the timeless space that's been made available for it. And so that's why
we offer them free.
That's right, free. You just have to step out of the time-space continuum for just a fraction of eternity, and you're there.
Just think about that one. That'll give you something to think about for the next 400 years.
While you're thinking about it, let's just stop again, and let's just give thanks. And this fellow, I think you'll recognize him. He'll help us remember to thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing now. Thank you, Lord, for every little thing. Thank you, Lord, for you make me sing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing now. Thank you, Lord, for every little thing. Thank you, Lord, for you made me sing. Sing along, sing along. Oh, I don't care. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing now. Thank you, Lord, for every little thing. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for you made me sing. Sing along, sing along.
Bob Marley.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. So, but it's interesting because I realized as I was listening to this that my particular belief system or whatever you want to call it wouldn't include that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that there's a force that is making things happen that I should thank or condemn or anything else. I mean, things are happening, and the only thing that I'm grateful for is the ability to separate the wheat from the chaff the ability to learn, the ability to expand my consciousness. And this may be directly responsible to the universal spirit that created everything, and I'm part of that creation. But I guess that to me it's too simplistic to think that, oh, this is happening, so somebody, something, some entity caused it to happen, and therefore thank him for it. I guess that's, I needed to say that.
Well,
so
you
there,
heard it,
Errol.
You heard it here, folks. Rochelle was able to express what she needed to say, which was that it bugs her when she hears the kind of
No,
lyric.
It doesn't bug me.
No?
It's just I wanted to say that's not my, it's not what I believe.
It's not your cup of tea, dear.
It's not my cup of tea. It's good music. It sounds fun, and Bob Marley is always fun.
We love Bob Marley, you know?
Yes.
He was such an influence on our young son when he was young, Bob Marley. And we so appreciated the fact that he came from one of our colonies.
You heard it here, dear people. My spouse, a man of many identities. One would call it schizophrenic, but... I know better than that. He just loves to play, and he loves to play with characters, and he loves to play with voices, and he loves to play with, and I do too. So this is what goes on in our house. It's very crowded. Lots of times there's a lot of different characters showing up for dinner.
Well, because some of the normal characters, they get kind of boring. They're boring characters. I'm not thinking about Rochelle. Rochelle, of course, is never boring because she's always full of surprises. But some of the other characters who live with us, like we have a character that lives with us sometimes. She just shows up. I don't know where. I don't actually know if it's a he or she. It looks like a she, but I would call her like a nag character.
We're getting into dangerous waters now.
And she just kind of shows up, and she challenges my thankful muscle because I'm challenged. I'm thankful challenged in when the nag shows up in our house.
I know, it does seem that way, doesn't it? A nag is like somebody who says something. When you say something to someone and you remind them of something that you'd like them to do, that's a reminder. When you have to say it four or five times, you become a nag. So who's responsible for the nag? The person doesn't get it the first time.
Wow. Did you get that? She turned that around.
Didn't get it the first time. And so you have to say it over and over and over again. I mean, so I become a nag because somebody doesn't get it the first or second time.
Did you get that?
That's good. Do I get a plus for that? I want a plus for that.
You be the judge out there, listeners. And let us know. You know, you can email us, estrider@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Every week, Tuesday nights, it's live. We do Inside Out, The Naked Truth from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional. And truth is always naked. And we'd like you to come join us. We're so grateful that we have a sponsor in Go Raw, real live food. Whoa, real live. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Go Raw food is made out of sprouts. As a matter of fact, I was in their factory, I guess, or place, and there was lines of these different things sprouting, like pumpkin seed sprouts or whatever it was, and they were in this carefully controlled, temperature-controlled environment, these tables of these different natural seeds, etc., sprouting. And just last night, I happened to go online because I was very curious to know what they say about the value of sprouted grains. I eat sprouted grains as a bread. I was a little disappointed to note that when they turn it into like a meal, a flour, it loses a lot of that, but the nutritional value. But what they did say, in order for these, like bean sprouts or anything that's sprouted, in order for it to become a sprout, it's fueled by the starch that's in the seed. And so as a result of that, there's not as much starch in it, and there's more protein and other kinds of nutrition because the starch is being used up. And this is what I have to report about the starch and the sprouts.
Well, it's very educational, Errol. You don't have to belittle that. I mean, that was wonderful. I learned that. Thank you. That was good.
Well, a little.
I think I'll eat more of sprouts. Remember, we used to sprout our own stuff.
We were sprouts at one point.
That's true.
Right.
I mean, someone looking at me would think I still was.
And listen, we want to wish you just a wonderfully happy Thanksgiving, and may it be genuinely filled with real gratitude. Not that fake faux gratitude that a lot of people are trying to pan off on us, but the real stuff that goes.
Just think, from now until Thursday, you have a chance to think of all the things you're grateful for, including being able to think.
Thinking is good, and be able to feel, and be able to listen, and to be able to appreciate all the things that you do appreciate. So remember, though.
Pain is what you...
No.
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. You heard it here.